Well, last session on the Two-Headed Serpent, Jane Barton Spencer had made their way up to the volcano following Greg's tracks, and they saw that there was a little cave mouth that was partially covered up that seemed to have a troll looking out from it. And they did some investigation and basically skulked around and saw whether the troll would attack them, and decided that it probably wasn't hostile. They also saw that there were some heads on spikes around the entrance, but the heads were probably serpent person heads. So between that and looking at the reaction the troll had to the broken shock collar that they'd taken off Grunt's body, they decided that the trolls were probably not hostile. And with that, they went up to the cave mouth, made contact, tried a bit of communication, and when we left them, they were being ushered into what sounded like a rather large cave with a lot of trolls in it. Meanwhile, Charles and Ethan were still having their struggle in this room with all the vats. Despite Ethan having blown up one of the vats by tossing a grenade in there, there were still a couple of serpent people plus this great monstrous serpent person who had grabbed hold of Ethan with its tongue. The poison in the tongue just about paralyzed Ethan, but he managed to fight off the pain. And he did, against the odds, manage to get free. Meanwhile, Charles ran in and started firing his Tommy gun all over the place, did manage to damage one of the tanks, which helped Ethan get free, and then, sadly, the Tommy gun malfunctioned. So, over the course of the next, probably only 30 seconds or so, things went from bad to worse. Charles got shot a couple of times by one of the serpent people who had a flame pistol, and this set him on fire. Ethan did manage to shoot the other one with his elephant gun, killing him, but before he managed to do much else, the giant serpent person shot out its tongue again, grabbed hold of him, and again he has managed to stay conscious and not succumb to the pain, but he is being dragged towards the creature and its two huge claws. So, obviously, this means that we're going to move back to Bart, Jane, and Spencer. So, you were being led by this small group of trolls into this giant cave. There's a fairly small cave mouth, a little tunnel that goes in, and then it opens up into, yes, this vast cavern. It's dark in here, and you're getting the impression of the size, because on the walls, every now and then, you can see patches of something that's glowing, and there are a few fires lit around on the ground. So, you get a rough impression of the fact that this is, hundreds of yards long. It's got a huge natural vaulted roof. It looks like it's all chipped out from volcanic rock, or maybe it's even a natural structure. And around the fires and the glowing walls, you can see many, many trolls. The ones gathered around the fires are some sitting there, maybe they're cooking stuff, maybe they're doing other communal activities. Over in the distance, you can hear this wailing, singing, keening sound that you heard before. And then, on one of the walls, about 100 yards down from where you are, you can make out this shape. It's illuminated by the fires that are around, and also patches of this glowing fungus, but there is this huge carved stone shape that reaches all the way up to the ceiling, carved from the black volcanic rock. And you can just about make out from where you are that this is some form of representation of Sarth Ogua.
Nice.
But
is Gunhilda with us?
Yes, she is. She's looking very nervous about the whole thing, clutching tightly onto her rifle.
I kind of try to give Gunhilda a slightly reassuring look, or maybe a tap on the shoulder, or just, you know, we're all in this together, at least.
Yeah, her teeth are gritted and she's looking around from troll to troll to troll. And, yeah, you can't work out whether she's sort of panicking or whether she's trying to work out which one to kill first.
I just kind of whisper to her, like, there's a lot more of them than there are of us. Just remember that, please.
You think these are the monsters who have taken my brother?
I don't think so. They don't have the collars. They don't seem to have been captured. I mean, maybe this is our easiest way into the volcano.
Maybe. We must find Ollie and we must find the others.
Yes.
But, yeah, the trolls who greeted you, or at least spoke to you briefly at the cave mouth, are leading you over towards the great carving of Sarth Ogua on the wall. The smell in this place, now that you're inside, is quite overpowering. There's smells of cooking meat, but there's also smells of excrement. There is very much a smell of wet fur everywhere. And there's also, just perhaps more subtly, the smell of death.
Does the meat smell like pork?
Yeah. I mean, it's maybe not quite.
Oh, dear.
I'm interested in the source of the wailing and what that seems to be about, like the wailing singing.
Okay. Well, that's coming from further over, like the very far side of the cavern, you reckon. But at the moment, the trolls are leading you down the side. You can see that the fungus that's growing on the walls, there's great patches of it. It's not quite like toadstools, it's more amorphous than that. And it is glowing a sort of bluish green. At one point, you do see one of the trolls come up and just grab a handful of it and just walk off munching it as well. But, yeah, they lead you down towards this statue of Sarth Ogua, and there are a few trolls gathered around underneath it, including one who you reckon, I mean, it's a bit difficult perhaps to work out the sexual dimorphism here, but you reckon is probably female, who looks quite grizzled.
It's the giant pink bow on her head.
Yes.
like Miss Pac-Man.
Yes. But she's bowing down before this statue, and she, as you approach, she gets up, and there are a few of the other trolls who get up with her, and she comes over and starts taking a look at you in the gloom.
Jane tries to kind of give like a nod of respect, or just a signal of thank you for inviting us in, I guess.
Is the path to the idol open?
There are a few of them around, but it's not like they're forming a wall in front of you or anything.
Bark's going to lean over to Spencer and just follow my lead. Make a slight obeisance to what I'm assuming is the village elder of some description. Mm-hmm. And then Bart's going to walk over to the statue of Sarth Ogua and and kneel before it and make obeisance.
Okay. Can you give me a power roll, please?
That is a hard success. 22 against 80.
Okay. As you kneel down before the statue, just for a moment, you just get a flashback to your experience before of being in Sarthogua's cave, there down deep below the earth. And it's just like double exposure for a moment, that the statue you're kneeling before just seems for a moment like the living Sarthogua.
Keep it together.
And I guess I follow suit then, remembering what Bart's just told me.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
I greater and head over to the statue and assume the same position.
Okay, you don't have to make the power roll because you haven't had that connection. But what I would like at this stage is a sand roll for Bart as he gets his flashback.
That's a success, 56 against what I hope is 79.
Okay, so you only lose 3 sand. But, yeah, just for that moment, you felt like you were there, back in that other place. And it's not until you just sort of shake it out of your head that you're anchored back in this cave in Iceland.
I whisper across the bar, I hope you know what you're doing.
You're not the only one. You see, it's just got his parts gone. Even more pale than usual, and you can see some sweat on his brow. But so gives himself a little shake as he gets up and pulls himself together.
The old woman, or whatever she is, stares at you. She seems to be reacting to what you've just done, but you don't really know enough about their body language to tell whether she's happy or angry or what. But she says something to you in their language. It comes out as a series of growls and grunts.
Yeah, I didn't actually succeed, so I didn't pick up any of the language from Grunt. Again, I guess I'm going to sit down in the dirt again and try and sort of recreate my somewhat successful communication with Grunt and begin drawing symbols in the dirt.
Right, okay. Yeah, I mean, if you're doing this, then she sits down opposite to you and engages with the process as if she's trying to figure out what the hell you are in return and what has brought you to their midst. So while you're doing this, what are Spencer and Jane doing? Because this is going to take a little while.
I guess I'm just trying to assess the cave and weigh up all the options and situations, try and count how many of these trolls I can see in the room at once whilst standing next to Bart, keeping one eye on what he's doing.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, give me a spot hidden roll.
I roll a 58, which is a success, I believe. Yes, 80, so yeah, success.
Okay. In which case, you can start getting more of a feel for the environment, because it's obviously very, very dark, but between the fungus on the walls and the campfires, you can make out enough of the walls that you do get a good idea of the size of the place. You also realize that not on this wall, but on the far wall, there are a number of what look like large tunnels that head off. You also pick out that the wailing is coming from what looks like the largest tunnel, or at least just in front of the largest tunnel, off to your left. It is coming from what looks like a gathering of trolls over there who are gathered around something that's on the ground, but you'd need to get closer to work out what that is.
How many trolls would I estimate?
You can't get an accurate count because it's dark and they're moving around and they're walking in and out of the larger cave, but you reckon there are probably 2 to 3 dozen.
Too many by half.
At least.
As I begin to communicate with, again, what I'm assuming is sort of some type of village elder, does Jane have any... First, I'm going to glance over at Jane and Grunhilda and see if I feel like Jane's fully occupied by babysitting our slightly less than stable guide.
I think Jane is kind of half paying attention to Gunhilda. She's kind of knows she's on edge, but she's also very intrigued, similarly to Spencer, I think, by what's going on around them, what the kind of setup is here, and particularly by the wailing and sort of singing. I mean, she's got Jane's all about listening. It's her best thing. So I think she's very intrigued by that, and I guess she can kind of see that Spencer's kind of looking in that direction as well. But she'll definitely, like, if Bart's trying to, like, catch her eye, she'll sort of...
From our interactions, what I think you have, the sort of communication skills that might be useful in this situation, or are you very much Anglo-centric?
Well, I can speak a bit of Spanish.
Bart just gives you a nod and very much makes eyes at Grunhilda, like, just keep her make from sure, doing
yeah,
anything
she doesn't
that
go
gets us all
murder crazy.
Very dead.
Yeah, I'll yeah, I'm happy to leave the interpretation to Bart, because, well, and I just kind of look back at you, actually, and I give you a signal, like, as long as you don't, I know your track record. She communicates that all in a look.
Yeah. Oh, and I thought I'd never have a wife.
Especially not a wife who's stronger than you. Okay.
That's honestly a lesson unexpected.
Right, yeah, I think Jane is quite intrigued maybe by what Spencer's looking over at as well, and it's a bit like, dare we? maybe we could, like, I don't know, gesticulate to one of the trolls to be like, could we go over there? Is that okay? Like, point or something?
They sort of grunt and make some gestures, and you have no idea if they're saying yes, no, you know, we'll kill you if you try. It's, you know, you have no basis for communications.
Dang. Unfortunately, I don't have any points in troll psychology. Like, that's a bummer.
What I will say is, if you want to try to make a psychology roll, you could do so, but you'd need a hard success just to get anything out of this.
Yeah, I'll give it a go, because I think that's kind of what Jane's trying to figure out, is kind of like, what does this body language mean? No, it's not a hard success. I got a 66 out of 70%.
Okay, so...
Never mind.
Yeah, I mean, they're not human. So... Yeah, you don't know what they're
can
saying.
Can I try, like, kind of slowly walking in that direction and see if anyone is affronted?
Stealthing?
Could try and stealth. Yeah?
I mean, there are plenty of dark shadows if you want to try to slip into one. And there are plenty of eyes on you at the moment, so that, you know, obviously you're going to be seen slipping into the shadows, even if you do disappear.
Maybe I don't want to stealth, because that'll make me seem sneaky. And I just want to be like, be seen as a bit more like bumbling and like, whoops, I don't know where I'm going. Yeah, I'll just kind of like start walking in that direction slowly.
Okay. That wouldn't really be stealth.
Kind of, like, trying not to.
I don't think there's a role for this. I mean, you're just doing that. You're sort of testing the water by walking over there in as non-threatening a manner as you can. And there's certainly a couple of the trolls peel out from the group that are around you and follow you, but they don't seem to be trying to stop you, and they don't seem to be aggressive.
Okay. I give one of them a thumbs up. James, like, so lost.
That's like a middle finger in their in their culture.
Roll luck.
Okay, so you make your way slowly and gently across the cave. Over on one side of the cave, over to your right, you can now see there's a small group of what look like younger trolls, maybe, who are gathered around a hole in the ground and seem to be throwing stones down into it and then jumping back. I mean, it almost sounds like they're laughing. But, I mean, over towards where you're heading, there's some sort of ceremony going on, you reckon. There are a few trolls who are there who are wailing in that very sort of sing-song way that you heard earlier. And as you get closer, you can see that there are a number of dead bodies lying on the ground in front of them. Mm. That dead trolls who look like they have died violent deaths.
Oh. Jane just kind of hangs back and obviously doesn't want to, like, encroach.
Okay. Now, this cave mouth that you're in front of, you can see that there is just darkness beyond it. It looks absolutely huge, this cave mouth. I mean, massive. It looks like it's hundreds of yards wide. It also looks like it's maybe not a cave so much as a great hole, because it does look like there's a lid and then it's dark down below as well. If you'd like, you can give me a spot hidden roll to pick up a couple of things about it.
Oh boy, do I. Now I do a hard success. 17 out of 80.
Okay. So, yeah, you pick up two things. One is there is a slow but steady flow of air coming out of this cave. It's quite moist, and there's a sort of unpleasantly meaty smell to it. And the other thing you notice is way over on the far side of the cave. You couldn't see it at first because it was covered by the upper lip of the cave mouth. Is a little rectangle of light.
A rectangle of light?
A sort of greenish light on the far side.
Okay, so it doesn't look like daylight light. It looks... Okay. Interesting.
And while you're standing there looking at all this, the trolls who are gathered and appear to be mourning these dead go round to the edge of this row of bodies, and three of them grab hold of the first one, and they go up and they just toss the body into this cave mouth, and it just disappears out of sight.
Wow. Interesting. So, witnessing a troll cave burial. Yeah. I'm wondering where that cave mouth goes. I don't think I want to go there.
And they steadily repeat this with all the remaining bodies. And I won't make you roll for this because you did get that hard success. But you do see, just for a moment, in that rectangle of light on the other side, what looks like a humanoid form silhouetted there, as if someone's watching.
Oh.
And I think that's a good point to leave this and go back to Charles and Ethan. So, when we left Charles and Ethan, Charles was very much on fire. Ethan was wrapped up in the tongue at this monstrous creature and being dragged towards its two huge claws. Let's start with Ethan, because I seem to remember Ethan's got a really good dex, hasn't he?
We have equal dex.
Oh, yeah, you're 90. Both 90 dex, actually, yeah.
Same. Yeah, he's wiry, but he's snappy, you know? This is the Charles way.
Okay, well, let's start with Charles, then. So, Charles, as we've determined, is on fire. The flame pistol, when it hit you with two of the three shots that were fired at you, ignited your clothes, ignited your hair. You are going up like a torch at the moment. The serpent person who shot you has still got the flame pistol in its hand. I mean, you can't necessarily read its features, but it does look relieved now, as the situation seems to be turning in its favour, despite the fact that you just massacred his mate. What is Charles doing?
Crash! He's like slapping himself, and he's like glances around, and then, didn't you say there was like multiple vats of this goo?
Oh yeah.
I think he's going to both put himself out and not get shot again by diving for cover in one of these vats of goo.
Fantastic. Okay, if you're while you're on,
I'm sure nothing could go wrong here.
Considering you're on fire here, and the floor is covered with viscera and goo, and bits of rubble from where people blew these tanks up with guns and explosives, I would like you to make a jump roll just to see whether you can get into one of these vats in a decent manner.
Ooh, okay. 57 versus, what's my jump? Jump of 52. Oh no! I'm going to spend the 5 luck.
Well, the alternative, if you prefer, is, I mean, you're obviously slip sliding around and it's just difficult to get the purchase you need. I mean, if you find some way of pushing the roll, I'll buy that as well.
Yeah, as I slide by the servant person, I'm going to, like, kick off him and try and knock him over, but get myself in, like, use him as a trampoline, yeah, to bounce off.
Okay. All right. Well, this has got the potential to go horribly wrong, so give me that roll.
Yeah. Okay, it's a success! Oh, 45 versus 53.
Oh, I had such plans for you there.
That's high scoring trampoline.
I do, yeah. Charles has a varied past.
Okay. So, yeah, you bounce off this rampaging serpent person. Well, not serpent person, this monstrous form, as you, as it's about to tear Ethan to bits. But, yeah, you push yourself off it and dive headfirst into one of the vats. And fortunately, the goo that's in there is not flammable. So you submerge beneath the surface and immediately the fire goes out. What I would like, though, is for you to give me a luck roll.
Good thing I didn't spend that luck, eh?
Yeah.
95.
Okay. You realise that you're not alone at this fact, that there is a creature that's just sort of hanging loose in the goo, and it looks sort of like a serpent person. It, yeah, again, too big, but it doesn't look fully formed. There's something sort of unpleasantly fetal about it. It's still twitching and it still seems to have claws. Its eyes haven't opened, though, and it's sort of just weakly moving its limbs in your direction.
Mama!
What does happen, however, is as you're looking at this and just breaking the surface, that robot arm that I mentioned before that was moving backwards and forwards, across the ceiling with the big needle on it, stops over this tank, and then just all of a sudden the needle comes diving down like a kingfisher towards the liquid, diving in. Do you want to give me a dodge roll?
Oh crap. All right, I got a 68.
Okay, and this needle just jams straight into your torso, and and immediately you can feel some kind of liquid coursing through the wound, out through the needle, just this cold burst of liquid inside you, and it is agonizing. When it's cold going in, but suddenly it just feels like fire going through your veins, as everything in your body just starts to twitch, and there are crunching sounds from your bones, and your body is spasming. And we'll come back to you in a few moments. But
it's like an injection of deep heat straight in.
Well, nothing that wholesome. But let's see whether Ethan is going to survive to see what happens to Charles.
Oh.
So your gun had clattered down on the ground. You were wrapped around entirely by this ton.
Yes.
It is dragging you towards this monstrous creature. What are you doing?
You could at least buy me dinner first. So I guess I am going to try and I'll try and strength my way out of it, I suppose. Well, actually, no. Last time I tried this thing is very strong.
It is very strong.
Incredibly strong.
You could try using your insane strength, because
that's what I did last time.
Yeah,
I'm still in my bout of madness, right? I really want to skin this thing and wear it and run around going, "Oh, I am the king of lizard things." Yeah, or whatever.
Well, it's up to you, and if you want to try. Or if there's something else you want to do.
I do have some spells. I couldn't go wrong, could it? No. I'll go with the insane strength. I'm just going to try and rip my way out of it. I'll try and grab the end of the tongue and just rip. Imagine it's like two little bits, like forked. And I'm grabbing both forked bits and ripping down the middle.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's just a question of whether you can get your hands into the position to do that. So
it's too slippery.
Let's have an opposed... Actually, what you're talking about there in order to do that, I'd say is going to be an opposed dex roll as opposed to an opposed strength roll.
I'll use my insane dexterity then. No. I don't have that.
Give me a dex roll.
87 against 90.
Well, you succeeded, and I rolled 60 against its dex of 40. So, you have managed to grab hold of the two ends of its forked tongue. So if you want to try ripping at this stage, I'd say, just give me a damage roll.
Rip and tear.
It's a 1d3 or something.
D3 plus your damage bonus.
Which is 4, I believe, based on my size and everything. So that is 5. 5 damage.
You haven't made much progress with this. It does. I mean, it doesn't seem very happy about this. It is bellowing in agony, and you've grabbed hold of the tongue, and you are ripping it in half. You are tearing it, and there's goo and blood pouring out of it. The thing's thrashing around because this really hurts. But fundamentally, it's really fucking tough. So, I'll tell you what, I mean, because of the kind of pain you're inflicting, I'm going to give it a con roll to see whether it drops you in pain.
Okay.
Yeah, it passes that. So it's still holding on to you. It's you know, you're thrashing around within this, but it is going to try now to grab hold of you and pull you apart the same way as you're pulling its tongue apart. So
yeah, we're both lizard people. This is how we roll.
Yeah. What are you doing about this? Are you trying to fight back? Are you trying not to get grabbed in the first place?
I'm going to try and clash insane strength to insane strength, because right now I feel like I'm being challenged. So the big game hunter in me feels like I need to rise to this challenge.
Okay. So
it's like that,
but
is it?
Initially,
I'll show you.
I mean, initially, this is just it grabbing you. So this is like an attack for its claws to grab hold of you in your arms and start pulling you apart like a Christmas cracker.
Well, I'm going to go to grab its arms, so it's going to be like hand fighting.
Okay, so that is a fighting brawl roll off you as well then, please.
Yeah, try. What is my fighting brawl? Thank God, it's 81. Right. Let's see. I got 34 against 81, which is that's a hard success.
Whereas I got an extreme.
You got an extreme.
Yeah, and because you're fighting back, you'd need to get a critical to beat an extreme, which you can't buy down to with luck anyway.
Yeah,
So no matter what you do at this stage, it's doing this. So
you're going to rip off my fresh new meat suit? This is all messed up.
Yeah.
I just got this. Eating time for this.
So, it has grabbed hold of both of your arms. I mean, each one of its huge claws is enough to go entirely round your arm. And it's pulled them back off its tongue, and it is now just trying to pull you apart. And so, if you want to give me that opposed strength roll to avoid being torn apart, this would be a really good time.
I'm going to be pulling in the opposite direction.
So
whatever that is.
Don't forget your insane strength here, so you get a bonus die on it.
Oh, I get a bonus die? I already rolled a 9. Mm-hmm, so I guess I'll try the bonus die.
See if you can get a 1.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I've got to roll a d10, don't I? Sorry, not that one. Yeah, so it's a 9. It's a critical success.
So, extreme success. So you got an extreme, and he got a hard, not an extreme. So, yeah, somehow, against the odds, I mean, even though, he's grabbed hold of your arms and, pulling you apart, just crucifying you, almost, he has not managed to actually start ripping your arms out of their sockets.
I'm sure he's already tearing the flesh a little bit and starting to see some scales underneath. I'm like, come on, there's a new suit.
Meanwhile, you can see the other serpent person, the one who set fire to Charles, has taken the opportunity of all this chaos, and he is just running out of the room shouting.
Can I roll a luck to see if he slips on the way out? Because I don't want to get out.
No.
There is a bunch of goo and crap everywhere. And there's chaos.
Go on.
Leave none left alive. I rolled a 12 against 71.
So you got an extreme luck roll. Okay.
Can we say slips and dies?
I won't go that far, but I will say that, just as he's running out the door shouting for help, at that point, he does slip on the other eyeball that's there on the ground.
Oh, no.
And slips and falls and bangs his head heavily on some rubble and just goes quiet.
Ooh. Yeah. And while my arms are being ripped off and my skin is tearing at the shoulders, I turn back and go, ah! Oh, that's pretty funny.
What an idiot.
What? Charles, did you see that? Oh, God, this hurts.
So Charles, meanwhile, is there floating in this gooey liquid with this embryonic monster just pouring at him, fire running through his veins. Can I have a con roll just to see whether you can stay conscious as this agony takes you?
I rolled a 90 and my con is 70. Ruh-roh!
Is this worth 20 points of luck to you?
No, because that would take me below 30.
But on the other hand, if you fall unconscious at the moment, you might drown.
Well, but then I can use 30 luck.
Yeah.
I think I'll take my chances.
And so you're going to spend all your luck as opposed to 20 points of luck?
Yes. Because you don't drown straight away.
That's true.
Yeah.
Got a few minutes.
I've read the rules, Scott.
Yeah. But if you're unconscious, I mean, we just skip to the good bit, I think. But, I mean, it's up to you.
I don't know. Can I push the roll on my constitution roll?
Oh, how do you think you would push this roll to fight off the pain and not drop below the surface and drown?
Can you just do a major pain? Want to forget about that pain in your little old leg?
I think you have one of those moments where like everything goes quiet apart from this like ringing sound, this sort of ringing in his ears, and this sort of thump of his heart, and the heart gets slower and slower, and everything goes sort of darker and darker until there's this tiny little pinpoint of light, and sort of all of his life starts flashing through his eyes, and he sees his wife who's died, and he sees his kids, and they're sort of floating away. And he's trying to grab onto a memory, something to keep him in the room, and all these images are flying through, and eventually he just sees one of Bart moving towards him, and as Bart gets closer and closer, Charles's fist just connects with Bart's cheek, and he's immediately jerked away.
That was beautiful.
Well, give me that con roll on your push roll. If you fail here, Charles is drowned.
Come on.
Yes!
Seven.
Oh, God.
Oh,
yes.
Nailed it.
Oh,
he really would have hit Spy.
I'm just fully aware that I'm going to lose 30 luck if Charles goes unconscious.
So, yes, somehow you managed to just visualize your way out of that pain enough, and as your fist flies out towards Bart's face, it actually connects with the edge of the tank, and your fingers go over it, and just, you know, supports you enough to keep your head above water just for the moment. So what's Charles doing?
Oh, who would have thought that Bart would save my life? You're right, Ethan.
Yeah, I'm all right. I mean, it's, you're just mildly being torn apart, you know?
And I imagine there's like this unusual timbre to Charles's voice, or timbre to Charles's voice, is this what liquid chemical courses through his body.
Yeah, in fact, as you're looking at your hand up on the ridge of the tank, you can see the flesh pulsating, and it's bulging like there are little sacks of liquid or balloons under the skin, and it's just bulging out in strange places.
Does it, like, can I do anything else, or is my go over now?
No, if you want to do something else, this is your chance.
I'm going to say Charles is going to try and pull himself out of the tank.
So, yeah, you do that and just sort of flop onto the ground between these vats. From your vantage point, you can see just over the ruins of the vat that Ethan blew up with the grenade before. There is this monstrous reptilian form standing there, just holding Ethan by each arm, pulling him apart. Its tongue, his bleeding tongue, still wrapped around his torso.
So Charles is going to try and push himself to his feet and charge towards it and try and, like, I don't know, crash into it, knock him over.
Okay, I mean, this thing is at least 12 feet tall and built like a barrel.
I imagine I'm running it in groin, at, like, groin level.
Can you tell? We have toddlers.
So you're going to try to headbutt this creature in the groin.
Yes. Well, I think I'm going to try like shoulder barge it, but I'm basically just trying to distract it more than anything else, to try and get Ethan to drop Ethan.
Do a flying punch through the air.
Yeah, well, I'll take that as a combat maneuver then. So it's just going to try to use its leg to kick you out of the way as you come towards it. You We'll get a bonus die because you're ganging up on it at this stage because Ethan's already had an attack on it. And so give me a fighting brawl roll.
I rolled an 8.
Oh, wow. I rolled a 23, which is just an ordinary success for it. So, yeah. So you've got an extreme... I mean, being a reptile, it doesn't have external genitalia, so it's not like you're hitting it in the nuts or anything. But on the other hand, you know, its cloaca still obviously seems to be a bit sensitive. And as you smack into it, yeah, it does rear back in pain. It drops its arms away from, you know, from Ethan's, where it's tearing them apart. And what I would like is a luck roll from Ethan, please, just to see whether it drops him.
That's 87 against 71, so no.
Okay, but you have disrupted the attack on Ethan. Yeah, it's still holding on to Ethan with its tongue. It's still standing, but we're on a new round now, so it's Ethan's go. What's Ethan doing?
I still have the bits of the tongue in my hand, so I can just continue to rip, right?
No, you haven't, because it grabbed your arms.
My arms, yeah. True, yeah. So it grabbed my arms, it was pulling me apart. Now it's still got my arms, or just only holding
me with its tongue? No, it's let go because Charles distracted it. So your arms are free.
All right. Well, I'm gonna try and reach down for my my trusty knife, which is essentially the size of a machete. It's a real knife, mate. And pull it out and try and slash at the tongue.
Okay.
Gripping me.
Then I'll say, first of all, give me a dex roll just to see whether you can get that knife out of its scabbard, because you are being held fairly tight.
83 against 90.
Okay, that's good enough. That is good enough. So, yeah, you do manage to get the knife out of the scabbard without dropping it. And now you're going to
try...
It'll
be a fighting brawl roll, I guess.
Yep, this will be fighting brawl. And it's going to fight back at this stage. Seeing you do this, it's basically going to whip its tongue around and try to smack you into the ground.
Ooh, wow. Okay, yeah. I got a 55 against 81, which is a success.
Okay, and I failed on my roll. So, give me a damage roll.
Which is going to be the 1d3 plus 4.
No, because you're using the knife here. Huh? So the knife does a lot more damage than that. This is basically a big hunting knife, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's something like a machete. It's something like a d6 plus 2 plus damage bonus.
Plus damage bonus. So just add 2 to what I just rolled there, which is 8. So that's 10.
Okay, 10. Oh, blimey. Okay. In which case, yeah, you cut straight through the tongue. This isn't armored at all. There's a massive blow. You just hack through the tongue. And what's left of it recoils into the creature's mouth. It's wailing in agony and just thrashing around, gore pouring out of its mouth as Ethan drops heavily to the ground with the tongue uncoiling around
him. Just a thud.
So what's Charles doing?
Is there a weapon around, like, I don't know, a piece of, like, broken tank or, like, any of these? You know what, I've just got my gun. I'm just going to shoot it with my gun. Charles has bounced backwards and he's sort of sliding along the floor in a sort of sitting position, and he just pulls out his gun and he's going to shoot 3 shots at it as it towers over him.
Okay, well, it's point blank range, so this is going to be just straight rolls on each one.
Okay, so I'm going versus 81, so that's 47 versus 81, 15 versus 81, so that's an extreme, and 96, so a miss.
Okay, so yeah, so for the ordinary hit, just give me an ordinary damage roll.
So, oh, wow, I rolled a 10. Full damage, 12 points of damage for the normal shot.
So that first shot smacks into it, and there is a lot of blood coming out.
The Impaler rolled a 1, so 3.
On the other hand, it's... That's still 15 damage, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the second one just hits it pretty much in the side of the head and blows a big chunk out. And the thing just staggers there for a moment, you know, wobbling backwards and forwards, and then just falls like a felled tree to the ground. I'd like luck rolls off both of you just to make sure it doesn't land on you.
I was just thinking that.
Success, 43 versus 49.
27 against 71.
Oh. Okay. So, yeah, it just falls backwards and lies there dead on the ground.
And now, where's Greg, by the way?
Yeah, where is Greg?
We've lost him.
Yeah, you lost him a while back.
Ages ago.
Ethan. You alive?
Oh, as I roll over, like, sort of, I guess. I think I'm going to need a new meat suit as I'm trying to, like, as I can feel the seams of the skin has come off and I can feel scales in between the flesh.
No, you can't, because that's what you'd expect, right? But when you reach up, and there are certainly tears in the flesh around your shoulders, but when you feel there's no scales underneath.
What? Never mind a new meat suit, Ethan. You're going to need a new house.
Yeah, probably going
to
need.
You need a new house to store the trophy you've just taken.
Now we're talking, Charles. Yeah, and I get up and I grab my knife and start cutting off its head slowly. Hacking through.
While you're doing that, I mean, you can also see that Charles does not look right at all, and his face is swelling up badly. His whole body is just going through involuntary convulsions and twitches. There's a liquid just oozing out of his mouth and out of his eyes.
You feeling all right, Charles? What happened?
No, the robot arm thing. It stabbed me. It jetted me with something.
Injected you. You think it's the same stuff that they're giving this trophy right here? And as I'm cutting away, is that?
And he sort of stands and looks at himself.
I don't know, but I don't feel good.
You don't feel so good? All right. There's got to be an antidote around here. If I look around, can I see any?
The control panel that was operating all this was largely destroyed because someone chucked a grenade in here. So you're not really sure.
Idiot.
But
I'm going to go over to, I'm like, Charles, maybe this guy has the answer. And I go over to the unconscious guy and I drag him over to us. And I slap him in the face and I start trying to say in really broken, barely intelligible Nikal, saying, can you help my friend?
By the way, just in case you've forgotten, you have heard this serpent person speak English before, but you can carry on speaking to him in the car,
but
because
it makes it much funnier. Also, when this guy responds, right? Also, this is a chance for me to tick the box for Nikal, right?
Yep.
So I'll roll. I got a 38 against 23. I'm like, do you know how to help my friend?
And yeah, you're slapping him, and he's just sort of half coming around. His little, you know, beady eyes going wide in terror as he sort of hesitantly says, please don't kill me!
Can you help my friend?
I don't know where it is, he says.
Where what is? What are you talking about?
He's responding in English, by the way. But I don't know. I don't know. The word you used, I think it's a kind of rare gemstone. Is that right? We don't have any valuables here.
I'm not looking for valuables. Look, and I grab his face and I point it up towards the broken robot arm, and then I point it towards Charles. Look, that happened to him. How can we fix it?
And as you're looking over at Charles, his body just kind of jerks upwards in another convulsion, and this time it bulges enough that his shirt just starts tearing and splitting.
Oh, does he pop a couple buttons? You're looking a bit swole over there.
Look at how strong I am.
Oh god!
Someone's added spinach today.
That's funny, as that gets referenced quite a bit, but you'd have to listen to the Patreon episode.
You have to be at the Patreon to get that joke.
Some dark times. So, can you? Is there something I can do to help him?
He's obviously semi-concussed and trying to work out what the hell was going on. There's blood coming out of his head. And he says, "What? The human there? He was injected with the growth serum. Oh, that will probably kill him." He says.
Oh shit! Is there anything I can do, or shall I just start writing my eulogy?
If he's a friend of yours and you care about his suffering, you should shoot him now.
Yeah, all right. You should.
As he says that, can Charles's fist like smash down in this guy's face?
Oh goes, yeah,
Charles smash.
Yeah, Charles's fist. Charles's fist.
Oh, had to be done.
Charles's fist smashes down, and it pops this serpent person's head like a watermelon. And shall we leave the episode?
Oh my god, what the oh my god.
Is your intellect diminishing as your size grows?
I've got a really horrible feeling that it is, because Charles only has 40 intelligence as it is.
Oh dear. Yes, I think that is a good place to leave things.
Amazing. I'm both excited and terrified of what is going to happen to Charles in the next episode. Again, thank you everyone for playing, and thank you everyone at home for listening. We'll do a very quick sign off. So if you want to get in touch with me, you can find me, the easiest place to find me is either on Twitter, which is at JoeTheGM, or the podcast at HWR Podcast. And also through the podcast Discord, which you should definitely join, and there's links there in the show notes. I'd also say there is a podcast Patreon, and it is the absolute best way of supporting the show. You get early access to all the episodes, and you also find some Patreon-only content such as Call of Cthulhu episodes and Cult Divinity Lost adventures that can only be found on the Patreon. So check that out at patreon.com/howwerollpodcast. Corinne, again, thank you so much for playing. Where can people find more of you?
Thank you. Had a lot of fun. If anyone wants to find me, they can find me on Twitter at Curran_J. That's KURAN_J. Or on the How We Roll or Does It Roll Discords. Pretty much where you find me.
Awesome. Again, Dave, again, thank you so much for bringing Charles back to life with your Bart's punch in the face. Is there anything you'd like to share or mention?
Oh, if you want a truly punchable character, you're going to have to subscribe to our Patreon, because I think Scott has forever taken the crown. Beyond that, I can be found on our How We Roll Discord, just at Dave Me. I'm here and there and about, and you can always just at me with any questions you have specifically.
Fantastic. And yeah, check out the DIY section to see Dave's ongoing project. Mm.
Dave Smash.
No, it's not Dave Smash, it's Diggy Diggy Hole.
And again, Aaron, it's great to see you again. Anything you'd like to share? Anything you'd like to mention? Where can people find more of you?
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me. Yeah, you can come ahead in the Discord and How We Roll. I am always there floating about in the ether. You just need to send out a message, call my name, and I'll probably hear it through the through the voids. But unless you do that, then I'm not really much to be found. I'm a bit of a hermit and recluse, I'm afraid.
Well, you definitely should start streaming again. They were a lot of fun when you did that.
Definitely.
And last player tonight, Camille, again, thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything you'd like to share, plug, mention? Where can people find more of you?
Hello, thanks very much. Always fun to play. Well, you can get in touch with me by scrying Vira Mirror, but only at 2 in the morning. That's my best time.
People have to say your name 3 times?
4 times, actually. Oh. I'm just that extra.
Mm-hmm. Make sure you're walking backwards through custard. Then I'll definitely get a touch. Anyway.
So for a moment I was like, a mirror, I've not heard of that new social media platform. Should I put the podcast on there?
What?
No, I can't be bothered.
Amazing.
Custard, that sounds like hard work.
It does, doesn't it? can you tell I've been listening to a lot of Hello from the Magic Tavern recently? Anyway, I'm on the Discord at Camille B. I have various Instagrams as well that I've mentioned in other episodes, so I won't bore you with it here. But I have a Twitter as well. So various ways to get in touch with me, but the mirror is probably the best shout, really.
And last but by no means least, again, thank you so much for managing this chaos and writing this awesomely pulpy scenario within Two-Headed Serpent. Is there anything you'd like to share, plug, or mention?
Well, thank you, Joe. Yes, if people want to contact me, you can either find me on the How We Roll Discord, or I'm on Twitter at S.Dorwood. Alternatively, if you want to hear some of the other stuff I do, go over to blasphemoustomes.com, the home of the good friends of Jackson Elias podcast, where you can listen to my good friends Paul Fricker and Matt Sanderson, who co-wrote this campaign with me, and myself talk about Call of Cthulhu, weird fiction, horror films, and all sorts of other cool shit.
Amazing, and we'll be back next week with the next exciting episode.